Good morning. It is a blessing to be with you and a privilege to open God's Word with you. I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 14, a very familiar verse. And please pray with me even before we read from God's Word. Father, thank you for your grace given us in Christ Jesus before eternal ages. We don't understand all of that, but we thank you for bringing us to know you. Work through your Word to build us up in our holy faith. Strengthen us, correct us where that would be our need. Encourage us, we ask, through Jesus Christ, the mediator. Amen. Jesus' very familiar words in John 14, 6 are, I am the way and the truth and the life. Old Testament prophets said, thus says the Lord. Jesus says in the fourth gospel, I am, taking the place of God himself in these seven special statements. Their pattern is this, I am the, and then a predicate nominative made roughly equal to the subject by means of a being verb. Thus, I am the bread of life, chapter 6. I'm the light of the world, chapter 9. I'm the gate into the sheepfold, 10. I'm the good shepherd of the sheep, 10. I'm the resurrection and the life, chapter 11, 14, 6. And then I am the true vine in chapter 15. We want to look simply at this verse, and for each of the three, the way, the truth, and the life, I'll show you how the foundation is laid already in the first 18 verses, the prologue, and then at least one other place within the fourth gospel. Because there are seven I am sayings, but not seven different meanings. Only three different meanings, and in case we didn't pick it up, John combines the three in 14:6 for us. How kind of him to do that. Jesus said, I am the way. In its context, it plainly means he is the only Savior of the world. He is the way to God. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Would I have told you, that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. In its context, this means Jesus is the only way or road. It's the Greek word hodos. It means way or road. Here it extends that imagery of the house in heaven. There is one road leading to that house, and that road is Jesus Christ himself. He's the only Savior. He's the only road, the only way to the Father's heavenly house. Understand? This theme is already given in chapter 1. Many themes are already given in chapter 1. Jesus is presented as the Savior here in 1:12. But to all who did believe in him, in contrast to the unbelief mentioned in the two preceding verses, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born of God, not of any human means. The new birth is a divine birth, not a human birth. Jesus gives the right to believers in his name, in himself, in his person, to become children of God. He is the Savior. As a matter of fact, uniquely in the Scripture, here he is the adopting God. Everywhere else, it's the Father's role. Here it is the Son. The New Testament in general ascribes to the Son works of God from the Old Testament. The Gospel of John goes beyond the basic New Testament way of doing that and ascribes other works to Jesus. For example, he raises himself in chapter 2 and 10, and I'll stop with that. Just here's my whole point. Jesus being the Savior theme is introduced right away in the first 12 verses. He gives the right to become children of God to anyone who believes in him. What kind of man is this? It is the God-man, the Savior of the world. 7 I am sayings, only 3 different meanings. And 2 of the sayings have this meaning. In chapter 10 and verses 7 and 9, Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. He's the road to the Father's heavenly house, chapter 14. He's the way into the sheepfold. A heavenly picture, now an earthly one, or to put the order right, an earthly one, and then the heavenly one. John 10, 7, Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." And then chapter 9, "I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved." The only way into the sheepfold, into the people of God, into the church, if you will, is through Jesus. He's the only door into the sheepfold of God's people. So there's an earthly picture, picturing believers as sheep. Jesus is the shepherd. Not only that, he's the gate into that sheepfold. He's the only Savior. There's no other way to be saved. The application is easy on this one. It is the gospel of Christ. The Gospel of John was written, John tells us in chapter 20, 30, and 31, that people might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you would have life, they would have life in his name. It sounds too easy, and in a sense it is, but it's beyond human doing. We cannot save ourselves. Contrary to liberalism and to common philosophical ideas, John Hick, for example, a former Christian by his own admission, who's now an apostate, a brilliant philosopher with worldwide influence, has a book called God Has Many Names. And just as the title implies, he's saying people call God by many names, but it's the same God, and there are many ways to this same God. In so doing, he kind of weakens the definition of God, so no religion in the world agrees with this definition. It's sort of a philosophical, Kantian, bland definition of the noumenal, the other, that kind of thing. Anyway, this is very much contrary to the Word of God, wherein Jesus himself, in 2 of his I am sayings, he's the gate into the sheepfold. He's the way, he's the road to the Father's heavenly house. Jesus Christ is the only Savior of the world. And if you are here this morning without that Savior, then you are not saved. Like the rest of us, if you got what you deserved, you would pay the penalty of your own sins and perish forever away from the joyous presence of God. Yes, that is called hell. But in his grace, God sent his Son to be the Savior of humankind, that anyone who believes in him will be saved. Oh, but you don't know, my sins are too bad. He'll never forgive me. He specializes in saving sinners. Jesus said, "I did not come to save the righteous people." So you're not too bad for him. Jesus didn't die for your good things and mine. He died for sinners like us to make us right with God. Admit your sins to God. Turn from your own self-efforts of salvation. Put all of your confidence for eternal life in this life and the next in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only way. He's the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. This means He's the revealer of God. Again, those Old Testament prophets said, "Thus says the Lord." And Jesus says, "I am," say to you, "I am the truth." Or the other "I am" saying that has the same meaning is, "I am the light of the world." But I want to take you back to chapter 1 and follow my pattern. As a matter of fact, right out of the gate, pardon the pun, John twice says Jesus is the revealer. It's one of his major pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ, along with Jesus being the one who gives eternal life. Because he calls him the Word and the Light. We often say, well, it says in the beginning was the Word, that means Jesus, so plug Jesus back in there. He didn't say Jesus. Jesus doesn't come in until verse 9 and then verse 14. No, he's the Word or the Son or the second person of the Trinity or the Light, the Word. Why does he call him the Word? We use words to communicate. God does the same. He used his Son, his Word, to communicate. The Son reveals God. I could show you here, we don't have time, but he actually revealed God by the things he made. Chapter 1, verse 4, before, at the creation, he revealed God by what he had. The eternal life resident in the Word himself was the source of all created life, and that was the light of God shining on human beings. Jesus was the Son of God, who became Jesus of Nazareth, was the Word and the light before creation. He's the light. He shines on people with the knowledge of God uniquely. The last verse of the prologue says it succinctly. No one has ever seen God in his invisible essence and totality, as it were. The only God, a reference to the Son incarnate, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. John introduces these themes in the prologue that we might pursue them throughout the gospel. That's what he does. Jesus is the truth. He reveals God to those who are in darkness. In chapter 12, he says it very plainly. 12:49-50. Repeatedly, he's accused of making up his own stuff and making these grandiose claims about himself and having a demon. How sad. The word demon occurs in the fourth gospel a number of times, never in the exorcism of demons. John clears the field for the big battle. Doesn't even have the temptation narrative. He clears the field for the big battle, and in chapter 13, the devil gives Judas the idea of betrayal. And by the end of 13, the devil enters into Judas to betray Jesus. So it's Christ and the Son of God at the cross. It's a big battle. But sickly, the word demon occurs a number of times in people ascribing Jesus' words and miracles to the devil. And he responds, 12:49-50, with words like these. I have not spoken on my own authority, meaning independent of the Father, making up my stuff. But the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. Why? Because Jesus is the revealer of God. He is the truth. It is seen most vividly in chapter 9, where he says, actually the end of 8, then he repeats it beginning of 9, I'm the light of the world. What kind of a statement is that? That's an Old Testament statement put in his mouth, claiming to be God. He backs it up by healing a man born blind. Never before has anything like that been done. And that's what the man himself says. He really impresses me, this, I imagine, a little guy. No Helen Keller, no Braille, no guide dogs, nothing, Zippo. And he withstands the leaders of Israel. He out-argues them. You don't know where this man is from? Never have we heard of somebody healing a man born blind. He's from God, you two-legged donkeys. I mean, he just lets them have it. It's beautiful. But they can't see because they refuse to allow his light to come in. And thus the response is, the result is, they're blinded by his light. Either one yields to Jesus and is illumined by the light of the world, by the revealer of God, and one that comes to know God, or one is blinded, which is a very sad state of affairs. Jesus is the truth, the revealer of God. By way of application, this should encourage us to read the gospel in a second way. I've got three ways to read the gospel. First way is, and the most important way, we read the gospels to learn and worship our Lord and Savior, to love him. And when he shows his power, we rejoice that that's the power that saved us. When he casts out a demon, we rejoice that he delivered us from who knows what kind of things in this life and surely from the life to come. So first of all, we read to worship our Lord and Savior. John 10:45, the famous ransom saying, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He died in our place, and we love him who first loved us, and we live for him. That's the first way to read the Gospels, to love and worship and serve our Lord and Savior. Secondly, because Jesus is the revealer of God, the truth, the light of the world, we read the Gospels to learn about God. Because God himself has become one of us, and he reveals himself in words and deeds and character. So, ask the Lord to teach you about himself as you read the Gospels. That's the second thing that they're for. Thirdly, Jesus is our example. I count 10 places in the New Testament where Jesus, in his death alone, is an example. Always for the Christian life. Never follow Jesus' example to be saved. No. Believe on Jesus to be saved. Follow his example to live for him. So Jesus being the truth, the revealer of God, reminds me of three ways to read the Gospels. To learn of our Lord and Savior and worship him. To learn about God, his work, his character, his ways, his goals, his means. Thirdly, Jesus is the example of all those who know him as Lord and Savior. I am the way, Jesus said, and the truth and the life. This is the meaning of most of the I am sayings. Plainly, it means he's the giver, the bestower of eternal life. How can he do something like that? Because he's God who became one of us to save us. It's already there in the prologue. Verse 1, chapter 1 that would be, and verse 3. All things were made through him. Here he is the creator of life. I thought the Father was. Oh, the Father is, but Jesus is the agent of the Father in creation. And no doubt the Holy Spirit has a part too, but we're focusing on the Son right now. All things were made through him, and John is comprehensive, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, was the giver of life to the whole creation. And then when he becomes a human being, it should not surprise us that he is the giver of eternal life to anyone who believes in him. As a matter of fact, technically, they believe because he's working and giving them life. Maybe at the same time, but he makes the first move to be sure. Jesus is the life, the giver of eternal life. We see it in chapter 10, I said this is most of the I am's have this meaning. I'm the bread of life. Even as we eat bread, used to, in many cultures still, I guess along with the rice, it's the staff of life, the staple of existence, right? The rice field fails, people are in serious trouble, right? So Jesus is the staff of spiritual life. He gives life. He's the resurrection and the life, plainly. He's the vine. He gives life to the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Through his life, coming through the branches, the believers bear much fruit to the glory of the Father. And here in chapter 10, the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep, he said, isn't that Savior? Sure, it has overtones of Savior, but it follows the gate saying, which speaks of him as Savior. And more precisely, if we had to put this under one heading, which we have, and I'm not making this up, I'm following people wiser than I am. John 10:28 shows, as the good shepherd, Jesus gives life to his sheep. Does he lay down his life at the cross? Yes. Is that what you're saying here? That's assumed. Now, this is because of that. He gives eternal life as a gift to those who are spiritually dead. John 10. Somehow Acts 10 is not going to get the job done. John 10:28. I give them, my sheep, eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. The Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one in preserving the sheep, in keeping the sheep saved. Jesus is the giver of eternal life. He's the way and the truth and the life. The one who gave life to all creation in the beginning, 1:3, is the good shepherd who gives life to his sheep, is the resurrection and the life. Our confidence in evangelism is not in ourselves. It is not in our Bible knowledge, although it's good to know what we're talking about. It is not in the grandioseness, is that a word, of our testimony. It is in the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to work in those who are spiritually dead and make them alive. We cannot do that. That's exactly the point. The Son of God, who is the life, sends us to bear witness of himself, of his death and resurrection, and through that, the Father and the Spirit, and here the Son work to move people from death to life at the word of Jesus, as he says in chapter 5. I hope this very familiar passage will mean more to you. Jesus is the way, the only Savior of the world. He's the truth, the revealer of God par excellence. Read the Gospels to learn more of God. And he is the life, the one who gave you eternal life as a gift, and the one who will use sinners like us to reach out to others as we seek to be their friends and pray for opportunities to share with them the good news, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the eternal life and gives eternal life to whomever he will. Please pray with me. Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the simplicity and clarity and power of the fourth gospel. Encourage us, we pray. Make us more grateful, more loving, and more holy, we ask. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.